And again, I don't know what possessed me to put so much into one sermon. I know I have a tendency to go long. Thankfully, I wasn't completely out of my mind and went that long. Hymn number 207, I'd like to sing the first, second, and last verse of Take Time to Be Holy. And verse 17 says this, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. This morning we began this message looking at ourselves. The fact that we are completely and totally redeemed, yet still not the Christian, still not the person we ought to be. And it goes back to that song that somebody once sang, I'm not what I ought to be, I'm not what I want to be, but thank God, I'm not what I was. It is a beautiful thing to be able to change. To be able, by God's mercy, to not just receive forgiveness, no, but to also, on top of it, have God continuing to mold us and make us into His image. That our mindset be like His, our love like His, our level of forgiveness to others match His. This is not only possible, but it is something that God is willing to do through you. And we praise God and we worship Him that He does not just take us as we are, but He is able and willing to make us better than what we are. This modern Christianity, this modern gospel states, well, you're fine the way you are. Don't you know God loves you? Yes, God loves you, but He's going to do more than overlook your faults. He is going to give you everything you need to stop having them. To stop having them. Well, I heard somebody say recently, well, when Jesus sat, He didn't sit with the good people. He sat with the bad people. You want to know why Jesus sat with the sinners? Because they needed salvation. They needed salvation. He did not go to sit with them so He could be more like them. He did not go to sit with them to condone the sin they were in. He sat with them to save them from their sin. Change is not only required of God, but it is given to us by God. He does not want us to stay in our sin-sick, depraved selves. He wants the new creature to have dominance in us, the new creation, the new us, to be stronger than the flesh. But it takes submission. Our point number one from this morning was what? That Jesus is our guide stick, for our measuring stick for this. He is the truth. We must listen to Him as He has taught us, as we have heard, as we have studied in the Bible. We must become more like Him, which on the backside of it means we've got to lay aside the parts of us that are not Christ-like. We got to lay these things aside. We must obey Christ in everything we do, down to our mindset. Beginning our point number two, we start off with this hymn, take time, what? To be holy. Holiness takes effort. You do not wake up Christ-like. It takes work. Number one, to subdue the flesh. And number two, to consider a holy response or a holy plan to how we're going to live our lives. Simply asking ourselves this, what is it that God would have me to do? Remember that back in the 90s, those bracelets? What would Jesus do? That was an international phenomenon. People had those WWJD bracelets. People who never asked themselves, never cared to ask themselves, what would Jesus do, would wear the bracelets. Why? Because everybody else is wearing them. And they came in bright colors, and it was a wonderful thing, and everybody got a good kick out of it. You know what? I don't think many of them even asked themselves, even for a second, is Christ happy? Is Jesus happy with the decisions I am making? And if it was just simply about putting us down and making us feel bad about our disobedience, hey, that'd be a very depressing thing. But that's not what we're here to cover. We are here to cover how God can take us from insufficient to sufficient. Unable to able. Something we've never done before to things we are quite good at. We must take time to be holy. Part of it, yes, is putting off the old man. And as we covered very much this morning, the next part is to put on the new. To put on the new, to wear it. This is who I am. This is the definition of myself. And man, so many people out there, they play these games. Well, am I this kind of person? Am I that kind of a person, right? It's almost like those old, we can make it new, the social media profiles that people put out there about themselves. Well, what are you? I'm a Libra. I'm a Sagittarius. Well, Matt, what are you? I'm a dinosaur. Now, Matt, you made that up. I know, they're all made up. I want to be cool. It's a joke. I want you to think this about my character. I want you to think this about who I am. My wife and I were watching a video. Somebody was giving commentary on some of these Instagram posts that people put up. And these huge stacks of Christmas presents, or these wildly expensive Christmas presents that people are putting under the tree. Well, this is what we got from Target, and they've got something that represents probably at least $15,000-$16,000 in debt. Look at all what we're giving the kids. This is who I am. This is an accurate depiction of who I am as a person. No, it's not. It's an accurate depiction of your American Express card. Be honest. Be honest. Or as my friend with too many tools has said, do not look at my things and think that I have a lot of money. I have a spending problem. He goes, don't think I'm rich. I just don't know how to handle money. This is who I am. No. Who I am is what Christ has made me. And what I want to be is what Christ is making me. I want to be the end result. And I praise God and I worship Him because He is not done with me. And every day as I submit and every day as He works, I grow closer and closer to that image of me that He has. Not by my wit, nor by my strength, but by God. We take the new nature. And we begin to use it. And we see this list of things. This list of things we are told to put off. Put on the new man. And don't do these things. Verse 25, we talked about lying. Verse 26, we talked about being angry and sinning not. Even to the point of what? Not letting the sun go down on your wrath. You see, it doesn't even talk about just a little. In true Christianity fashion, it's not just about a little. It'd be one thing to be able to say, I'm angry, I gave it to the Lord, and it was wonderful. It's another thing to be able to say, you did it before the sun went down. Because some people, they need time to cool down. Well, give me a few days to mull this over. No, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Clean it up. Clean it up. Some people have perverted this phrase. Don't go to bed angry. Stay up and get even. No. Don't go to bed angry. Stay up and plot your revenge. No. Instead what? You get before the Lord and you deal with that anger. If you've got to get in front of that person, hey, listen, what you said bothered me. What you did I didn't think was right. I just want to let you know I'm willing to forgive you, but I'd really like it if you didn't do this anymore. We don't let that sun go down on our wrath. Well, now hold on. If what they did hurt me significantly, I'm allowed to use that as a talking point forever in the future. No. Forgive them the way you want God to forgive you. That's the way it goes. Whether it's that annoying neighbor, whether it's that family member, doesn't matter. What do? We honor God. And I'm not even going to let the sun go down on it. I'm going to deal with it in the light of day. I'm going to deal with it quickly. Verse 27, we talked about this. Neither give place to the devil. Some Christians give too much space for the devil. They do. I want you to consider how much space the devil has in your life. Well, I don't see him anywhere around here. The things that he has created in this world, he's created for you to pick up and use, not think about, so he can get his hooks into you, change the way you think. Well, brother, what makes you think that's going on? Well, all right, well, let's take a look at the CEO that got shot. Remember the healthcare guy? How many people rejoiced in his death? Now, if I take a gun and I shoot somebody in the back, I shoot them anywhere, and they die, what's that called? That's murder. What does God say about murder? It's wrong. Whether that person is a drug dealer, whether that person has a lot of money, whether that person is annoying, whether that person has alternative political views from you, we do not have the right to murder. But look at our society as they go, was the man dirty? Probably, I don't know. Did he put policies in there that probably hurt people? I don't know. You know what? I do know what God tells me. Murder is wrong. But society has lost its way. How do you think the devil got us convinced that murder's okay? Let's hit rewind and go back to World War II. Why is it that Germany thought it was perfectly okay for Hitler to do the things that Hitler was doing? How did he get him on board? Because the devil had his hooks in those people. And some guy with a loud voice and a persuasive tone to him got him to believe that murder under certain circumstances is okay. Folks, this is the world we live in. This is what put Christians on stakes. This is what causes massacres. This is what causes unjust wars. This is what causes the things that are destroying our society. The devil having too much place. And we think we can toy around with it just a little bit. I can watch just a little bit of this. I can partake in just a little bit of this. And it's not going to have an effect on me. What you put in your eyes has an effect on you. Period. It could be good, it could be bad, it will have an effect. What you put in your ears will have an effect on you. As our children sing, oh, be careful, little eyes. Oh, be careful, little ears. And then what do we start singing about? Oh, be careful, little mouth. Because as the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, so the mouth speaks. We say what is inside of us. And if we have filled our hearts with nonsense and garbage, what will come out? I come to church not just because I'm the pastor, but as I would come to church, I would sit there underneath the preaching, and I go to conferences and I sit under the preaching. Why? Because I firmly believe that the teaching of the Word of God has an effect upon my mind, my decision making, and my walk with God. Why would the beggarly elements do anything different? They would have an effect on me, just the opposite of what godly things do. It would have the opposite effect. Why? Because the things of the devil would have an opposite effect. If I fill my ears and my eyes with stories of people telling lies, I become desensitized to lying. If I watch violence and crude behavior and lascivious things, licentious things, would that not be something I become less sensitive to, less bothered about? You get an opportunity. I want you to watch a movie called Time Changers. It is a completely fictional piece of work, of course, and it's silly. But it's about a professor at a Christian college who brings forth a book, and the premise of the book is we can have, even if people don't believe in God, we should still teach them Christian morals. And that way of just teaching godly morals will create a better society. And one of the guys goes, oh, no, that's not going to work. I can't sign off and say that I can't endorse your book because I don't think that's true. You need Christ in order to preach Christ things. Can't preach Christ likeness without Christ. And the guy gives him a time machine and he sends him forward into the future to like 2000 something or other. It was in the early 2000s. And he's sitting there and he sees the state of the churches. And he gets bummed out. And he sees the state of society. And he gets scared and frustrated. One of the more funny parts, but it's not so funny. You know how that goes in movies. There's funny things that are not so funny if you think about them. Is the church group takes him to the movie theater. Hey, we're going to have an outing for people our age. We're going to go to the movie theater. And you just see him going back and he's looking at all the lights and he thinks it's amazing. And he gets back into the movie theater. And he comes running out a few minutes later because one of the actors on the screen used the Lord's name in vain. Stop! Stop! And he's screaming. He blasphemed the name of the Lord. Stop the movie. Do you know what's going on? He just lost his mind. And everybody around him thought he was nuts. Folks, I serve a God that destroyed an army. And an army's on top of armies. I serve a God who hangs the very stars. I serve a God who is a jealous God, who can be an angry God, who can be a punishing God, a God that opens the ground beneath those that cause rebellion and swallows them up in dirt. Don't you dare take my God's name in vain. There's many a good stone God you could take his name. And you know, I think it's amazing how often it's the Lord's name. When was the last time you saw somebody stub their toe and say, "Oh, Buddha"? You're never going to hear that. Oh, how about Allah? Oh, no, not even the liberals of our day will touch the name of Allah. But it's only Jehovah God they come after. You want to know why? Because they've been indoctrinated by the devil to do so. They just don't know what's happened. Well, how has that happened? What, you think the devil's out there doing some voodoo? No, he puts it on the TV and we become desensitized. We don't think it's a problem because it's on the TV. We don't need to give the devil place. The things that God has for us are infinitely better and satisfy your needs and your wants better than what they have. We talked this morning about things that you can get out of the window. You drive around, get some food out of the window. Isn't it bad when every now and then say, "Hey, don't go to Taco Bell. They got this kind of breakout over there." It's not even good. Or the expense that they put in things nowadays. You see how expensive fast food is getting? I remember back when I worked at McDonald's, it was a certain price. You know, we had the dollar menu. We had all sorts of wonderful things. Now, they don't have that anymore. We have now $2, $3, $4. There was a breakfast sandwich. My wife and I, one of the surgeries that she was having or one of the procedures, we stopped off so I could get a breakfast sandwich real quick to take with my medication. They wanted $5 for a breakfast sandwich. You know what I could do at home for less than a third of that cost? I could make that exact same sandwich. Like for $5, I can make one for every member of my family. What we have is better than what this world offers. There is better music among Christians. Well, what about movies? They don't make such good movies. You know what? You're right. I'll just be honest with you. They don't quite have the explosions and the CGI. But you know what? Some of that stuff is just tearing your spirit up. It's tearing your heart. Why? Because that's what the devil designed it to do. So you're saying that everybody who works in Hollywood works for the devil? You take a good, long, hard look before you call me a liar. Look at it. Look at what we see out of there. Man, Jeffrey Epstein got in trouble. Some of them disappeared. This rapper guy, he gets in trouble. More of them disappear. All these people associated with him. Oh, we're leaving the country because of Trump. Yeah, you're leaving the country because of Trump. And you go all the way to places with no extradition places. Things that won't extradite you over certain things. Yeah, that's where you went. And you dyed your hair and you changed your name so that way people can't find you. We do not need to give place to the devil. We have better things. What is it to us if we spend 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours in front of a television or a cell phone and we can't spend 15 minutes with the Bible open in front of us? It shreds our attention span. It makes serving God, learning, reading harder. We've always known this. Back when the TV first came out, what was it people started saying? Oh, don't watch too much of that. It'll turn your brain into mush. You want to know how they knew that was going to happen? Because it was happening. It was. People started having a hard time paying attention to the things that didn't whiz, zoom, and play songs at you. And more, we degrade our ability to pay attention. My friends, we have to give no place to the devil. And because God is good, and because he is a God who supplies, because he is Jehovah Jireh, he will give to us all that we need and all that we want. We do not need the lesser elements. We need Christ. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Again, a complete change. We no longer give place to the devil. And what else do we have now? It is no longer just a matter of not stealing, but now it is reaching a level of productivity you can give to those that need. Are we saying that God can take a lazy man and make him a hard worker? Absolutely. Absolutely. Are we saying that God can give somebody the mental fortitude, the physical strength, the ability to go in and perform at his best level possible? Absolutely. Listen, folks, if I didn't pray for the workday, I was getting in trouble. Lord, help me get through this report. Oh, man, I can't tell you how many reports I've had to pray through because I'm going to sit down with a multimillionaire and he's going to ask questions about what I'm doing on his property. And you know, these guys, they had very little care for the people that were answering the questions. They had very little care for politeness, very little care for actual paying attention. All they wanted to know is why we were spending money and why we weren't making more of it. They didn't care about the age of the roofs. They didn't care about this. They didn't care about that. They just cared about the bottom line. I had to pray through a lot of different reports. Lord, help me have good understanding. Lord, help me this. Lord, help me that. Well, why would God care about my work? Why would God care about my labor? Because everywhere you go, you represent him. Also, he loves you. And he wants to see you successful. He wants to help you, but you got to do it his way. You got to do it his way. Well, you know, pray for my son. He wants a promotion there at work. Oh, yeah, where does he work? Oh, Skip's Bar and Grill. He works there behind the counter at the bar. What would be the promotion to? Head bartender. No. Well, I'll pray for your son. I'll pray that your son gets a good job. I'll pray he makes more money. I am praying he gets successful there. I'm praying the Lord saves him, gives him a bad mouth for it, makes him more bad taste in his mouth over it, and then he leaves. And that God provides for him a good job, a safer job, a better job. Right? We pray for these things. Man, I can't tell you how many people's sons and daughters pray for them. They won't work. Pray for them. They won't work. And I've even seen some who were like that, whom the Lord saved. And they sprung up and they got a job. And they became one of the hardest workers in the company. And God blessed it. And guess what? 4 or 5 years down the road, who are they? They're the ones passing around. Hey, listen, what do you need? All right, let me get a little extra there. Let me help this person over here. Hey, sir, are you okay? Yeah, sure is awfully cold outside. Hey, let me run back to the car, grab you a blanket. Let me run back to the car, grab you. I got some leftovers there. They become the generous ones. They're tithing in the church. They're giving over and above in the church. Why? Because God has blessed them. You're not stuck the way you are. Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm stuck the way I am because of my brain. God gave me a bad brain. I absolutely hate that so many Christians believe that God could cure cancer, but he can't help your brain. What a limited God we have if we believe that he can't go past the neck. Of course he can help your brain. Why do we say that? What's the real thought behind it? Well, if I could come up with a really good reason for why I don't, then I've got a really good reason for why I don't. Whatever your ailment, whatever the illness, God is still the answer. Well, I need medicine. Okay. But do you pray that God take it away from you? Or are you like one of the so many who say, well, you know, I can't, God, you know, I don't think God will help this, you know. You go ahead and you keep listening to the devil, talking about things God can't do. I'm not going to be that Christian sister and says this is something God can't do. As a matter of fact, there have been many a blocks and many a hindrances in my life that God has taken care of and God has helped. You know, when I was a kid, Dennis in the back, he's got grape-flavored Jolly Ranchers and he saves them for me. When I was a kid, that was the only Jolly Rancher that I think my speech teacher didn't like. And she put them in the prize bin. And if you did good, you got to reach in the prize bin. Well, I got all the plastic frogs and the tops and she had little rubber dinosaurs. I got them all, and after a while, I just got the grape Jolly Ranchers. And I think it's funny. I giggle. Every time I go back there, he's got a special cup. I'll giggle when I get one. You want to know what? I got one in my pocket right now. I giggle about it. You want to know why? I fell in love with these in speech class. Let that wrap your head around you. Here I am, the pastor of the church, going into the back and grabbing a Jolly Rancher that I'm trying to get down real quick before I've got to go preach. That I fell in love with back when my teachers were 110% convinced I wasn't going to be a very good speecher. Don't tell God what he can't do. Well, I got a learning disability. I got a God who's full of ability. Maybe he won't take it all away. Maybe you'll be like Paul. You'll have a little bit of it left. Just to remind you that he's the one who gives you the ability. And you know what you do? You praise God. You say, how does this, Lord, without you, how does this happen? Sit there at work. Lord, I got another promotion. Without you, how would any of this happen? Before, I was the guy without a job. I was the guy who didn't like to work. Now here I am. And you're blessing. And you know what I get to do? I get to go be a blessing. After all, isn't that all of our desires? To be a blessing to others? Now listen, as fun as it would be to be like the last act of Christmas, it's not a Christmas story. Forgive me. I keep wanting to say it's the Muppets Christmas Tale, but that's not what it is. But by Charles Dickens, Scrooge in the last part of the play. We'd all like to be Scrooge, wouldn't we? Let me buy the biggest goose. Let me throw money out like it's candy. We'd all like to be that way, but you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. Kindness and love come in all forms. It is in a made meal. It is in the sharing of resources, the splitting of a sandwich. And yes, maybe every now and then a dollar or two passing from one who is full to one who is hungry. We all can take what we have too much of and give it generously because God has blessed us so. God has blessed us so. Even in times where we sit there and we say, I don't have much. Man, in this country, it's hard to say we don't have much. If you've got more than one change of clothes, you're blessed. You're rich according to some. You got food in that fridge? Oh, sure, it might not be a full and complete dietitianary balanced food meal. But can you feed people? Yeah, we can feed everybody we got here tonight. You're blessed. There's a lot of folks going home tonight, can't eat. We're blessed. And in this country, we talked about this on Friday. In this country, if you don't, we've got stuff to help you. That's how much God has blessed us. And America needs to be real careful. We've insulted God for too long. The fact that we have not been punished as harshly as we deserve yet is a proof to God's mercy and power. Because we've been begging for it for a long time. But still, we sit in the blessings. Oh, that we would work. Oh, that we would labor and show the changing power of God. And when we experience the changing power of God, that we would fall upon our knees and worship Him. Worship Him as we labor. Worship Him as we give. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Man, I hate foul-mouthed people. I hate liars. I hate it when people cause trouble. There's just some folks out there that it is almost like it is their unspoken mission to ruin the fun of everybody. You come into oh man, isn't this wonderful? Look at how great this is. You know what? Last year's was better. Okay. Hey, look at this thing we got. Look, we pulled this tree down. This tree was 6 foot tall. Oh yeah, our tree at home, it's 9 foot. We've never had something so small in our house. Now you're lying to me. You ever see those people? No matter what you do, they're better. And no matter what success you have, they'll knock you down a peg. I've met far too many people in my life who are almost like little energy vampires. They just want to suck the fun out of you. Anytime you're happy, man, there they are. Well, it's not, the sky is blue. Well, it's not technically blue everywhere. Thanks, Mr. Wizard. Really? Some folks, they poison everything. Man, there are people out there teaching mathematics classes in college. And they want to sit there and they want to take time from calculus or whatever it is they're in to tell people about how God doesn't exist. Shut your mouth and get the calculator back out. They want to stop a physics class to talk about how the liberal theology... The liberal Democrats out there, how they're the way to go, and anybody who's a Republican is a bigot. Shut your mouth and get the measuring tools back out. Well, here we are. We're teaching economics, and what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how important it is that we accept and consider a transgender lifestyle. What is wrong with you? There's corrupt communication everywhere. And never more prevalent than on social media. Never more prevalent than on YouTube. And what do people do anyway? Well, let me have some more. Let me have some more. Man, you meet people like this, they're the first ones to tell you how smart they are. Have you ever actually met somebody? I've met 3 people in my life that stopped a conversation that I was having with them to let me know they were the smartest person in the room. They didn't like hint at it. First of all, I want you to know I'm a lot smarter than you. I said, well, how do you know? If you're an idiot, maybe you wouldn't know. Wow. I want you to know what kind of degree I have before we get into this conversation. I go, well, great. Not only do I think you're dumb, but now I think the person who gave you that degree is dumb. Don't talk about that. You'll put your college down. Just a joke. I want to let you know I'm the smartest person in this room. Have you lost your marbles? To need to be that person? What do? They control it. And if you agree with them, they bestow upon you, oh, you too are a clever cookie. Because you agree with me, you must be a very smart very studious person because you agree with my backwaters, weird, perverse behavior and thought process. That sounds like the devil, doesn't it? We'll give you special knowledge. You'll be like a god. No. No, you won't. What you'll be doing is you'll be buying a lie. And your life will suffer because of it. The devil, he makes his things look so good. And he puts out these people with these corrupt communications, these lies, these deceits, these blasphemies. And they corrupt and they corrupt and they corrupt the youth and they corrupt the aged and they corrupt anybody who will listen. And then what do? They pat themselves on the back. Oh, we're so smart. We're so superior. And then the young people, they look up and they say, oh, well, that is superior. That is wonderful. Why? Because they tell me it is. What we need is for those people to be saved so that they no longer have corrupt communication. Look at this complete turnaround. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that those who sow lies, those who put down, those who pull people away from God could then turn and edify others to build them up. Let those that tear down become the teachers. Don't do it yourself, but become one who can be a teacher. Folks, it's easy for me to pick on the world. I could do that all day. But what behooves us here is that we would take the moment to consider ourselves. If we are speaking of things that are not biblical, if we ourselves are caught up in gossip, in nonsense, and that happens in a lot of churches. There's just one or two members sometimes. I wouldn't say that I've noticed it here, but you see it happens where there's one or two people in the church. The pastor gets up and he speaks. Well, I don't know about that. Well, do you know enough to say that he's wrong? Well, no, this is not what I would have said. Or, hey, can I give you a prayer request? I want to tell you about how so-and-so is doing this and that and the other. Are they really doing that? Oh, man. That's not a prayer request. It's gossip. That we would cease from being a discouragement with the things we say and begin to be an encouragement. Sister Roland, if I could get you to come on up. And if you can, I get you to stand. We're going to go to hymn number 543, hymn 543. We'll sing the first, second, and what I'll do all four verses of I Gave My Life for Thee, hymn number 543. Thank you. verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I gave it all for thee. What hast thou given to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? Powerful words. Especially once we consider all that God has given to us in salvation. And now that we have considered all he continues to do for us, you see, it's not just blessings, it's not just the promise of heaven, it's not just healing when we are sick. It goes down to the point of helping us to be, making us to be better people. He has given all to us. And what do we sometimes do? We say, Lord, I will give you everything. I'll give you my time. I'll give you Sunday. I'll give you Wednesday. I'll give you Friday mornings. Lord, I'll give you this. I'll give you that. All right, but I want you to give up this sin. Well, Lord, anything but that. Anything but that. We see too much in this world today, too much of people who profess to be Christians hanging on to the beggarly elements. There was a fella who every now and then he does kind of funny skits, and this he proclaims to be a Baptist, and he does skits like, if denominations were Christmas movies, if denominations were whatever, and normally he's pretty funny. Well, he has a podcast, and I tuned into his podcast. I thought, well, maybe he's got something interesting to say, and he's got a bunch of people on there with him. And you know what they were talking about? They were talking about what adult beverage they were drinking. People who claim themselves to be very good Bible students. People who proclaim to be pastors and preachers. Those who have seen what this kind of thing has done to people's lives and they won't give it up. Well, it is a very strong Protestant thing. Luther drank beer. D.L. Moody, he liked brandy. Charles Spurgeon, he had a cigar. Are we trying to be Christ-like? Or are we trying to fulfill our lustly our fleshly lusts while still trying to masquerade as Christians? What alcohol do we see that was not just regular table wine? Do we see the Lord? We don't see the Lord throwing down shots. And the alcohol they had is not the alcohol we have today. We need to get over that. He did not do what the world does today. And you know what we should do? Differently. At the beginning of this passage, we are told not to walk as the other Gentiles walk. Growing up in a home where alcohol took a very big gouge, I'll sit there and tell you there's nothing good that comes from it. And I have talked to good pastors. I've talked to people who are maybe not so good pastors. And there's a lot of agreement or disagreement here or there over it. But I'm going to tell you now. If we see something dirty, if we see even the appearance of evil in a thing, it ought to be nothing for us to give it up for Christ. Well, it's debatable. You know what? If it's debatable, let me err on the side of caution. Well, I don't know if I want to get in front of, I don't know if I want to die having not experienced these things. Really? You stand before God, you're going to be sitting there going, man, I wish I, really? I'm not. I think we're going to get up to heaven. We're not going to miss a thing down here. I don't think we're going to sit there and say, oh man, I can't believe I lived my whole life and I never did this or I never did that. I think we're going to be so deliriously happy in heaven, we won't care about the stuff down here. You know, there's a lot of stuff I'd like to do. I'd like to go out into space. I'd like to go into the deepest part of the ocean. I'd like to go out to the Serengeti, watch a giraffe eat off a tall tree. I'd like to see a lot of things in this world that I'm probably going to die without ever experiencing. And you know what? I'm not going to care a whit about it when I get up into heaven and I see my Lord's face. So if there's a little bit of doubt, I'd like to ignore it. I'd like to leave it alone. Now, are we perfect in that? No, none of us are. But aren't you glad we're talking about how God does a perfecting work in us? Oh, we can be. He has given everything for our salvation. Everything. Imagine for a second that you are in heaven. You are surrounded by beauty and splendor. And you are asked to step away from it for 30 some odd years. What heartache. Folks, I'm homesick. I've never seen it. Could you imagine Christ walking away from it to come down here knowing what he would have to do? And he did it. Why did he do it? He did it for you. He did it to honor his Father, and he did it for you. He gave that for you. And why did he have to live so long on this earth? Why is so much of what he said and did recorded for us? For our learning. He didn't just save us from our wretched lives. He provided an example of a perfect one. Giving us the blueprint for change. So that we could be Christ-like. How could you be Christ-like if you didn't know what Christ was like? So we get to see who Christ was. We get to hear his teaching. Well, at least we get to read it. He gave all so we could have this. And then what did he leave behind? The Comforter. The Holy Spirit to dwell within you and me. To be a help and a stay for us. He gave all. Not just for your redemption, but for your continual sanctification. Not just to be set apart from hell, but to be set apart from the very sins that cling to you. What are you willing to give up for him? What is it that he's asking of you that we say, no, Lord, that's mine? We say, oh, yes, the Lord dwells within us. My friends, what manner of abode have we given him? What dwells within? Does my Lord have to share space with bitterness? Does my Lord have to share space with hatred and anger and frustration? Does my Lord have to share space with all manner of licentious and disgusting filth of this world that I have poured into my heart? What kind of living space have I given the Lord if I believe he dwells within my heart? Knowing that he is the source of change, knowing that he is the cause of betterment, what excuse can I offer him? None. Folks, don't we understand that to get to true worship, there must be nothing between us and the Savior? And if he was willing to give it all for us, again, as a reminder, not just given to us, we started this fight. You understand that? We started this fight. Don't do this. You do this, you'll die. Don't do this. Psst, hey, you'll be as good, if not better than him if you do this. Oh, we want to be better than him. We smack God in the face. Where's the gratitude? Where's the heart? Where's the love? There's no appreciation and what we did in the garden. We started this fight. And you know what we did after that? We perpetuated the fight. We built stone gods. We built mythological things. We worshiped those mythological things. We allowed the devil to steer our philosophy and our theology. And we insult God again and again and again. We put in God we trust on our money. We take that money and we pay to have an unborn child murdered. We take that money and we buy things that corrupt our body. We take that money and we have transgender surgeries done. We take that money and we give it to crooks and criminals. In God we trust. He calls us to change. To not be like the rest of those Gentiles. And there is, oh, what a great change there is in the beginning. But you can never forget that in the great insult that we have been to our God, He came all this way so you don't have to be like that. That's kindness upon kindness. Whoever has wronged you and gotten that much back out of you. I think the nicest reaction to somebody making me mad is they went to Starbucks and they brought me a coffee. It worked. I'm not ashamed to tell you it worked. I've even had some people where I've made them mad. I don't think I've ever irritated anybody the way I've irritated God. But I don't think I've ever irritated anybody plainly and had them come back and do so much to de-escalate me. Typically, if I mess up, I have to do the winning, right? That's not what the Lord did. He gave all to rebuild this connection and to make us better. And if we are willing to give all to Him, modifying our actions, modifying our thought processes, and yes, modifying what we bring into ourselves. I'm not touching that. Through obedience, we can be more like Him because of Him. And because we are more like Him, we open the door to real worship. Real worship. Consider again, I know I've gone over. Consider again the priests in the temple. What was sitting right outside? There was that laver right outside the tabernacle, wasn't there? You wash. Oh, there was lots of rules for washing, wasn't there? Why did they put bells on the priest when he went in? Because if he did it wrong, God would take him. That's how serious God took worship. Wasn't it Jeremiah? I always confuse the two, Jeremiah and Isaiah, when it comes down to this. I think it was Jeremiah. Lord, I don't have the ability to speak. Lord took hot coals to sanitize that dirty mouth. That we would be holier. Because God has made it possible for us to be holier. That'll open the door for us to be able to worship Him as He is. We must worship the Lord. And by looking at His continual sanctification process in our lives, worship is the only rational reaction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what You've done for us, the story You are writing down through the ages, Lord, is a testament to how powerful You are. And Lord, we know that that ain't even a glimpse of what You're capable of. Lord, You're kind to us. And those are cheap words. You're good to us. Lord, I pray that we never forget just how good. That, Father, we not listen to the devil and think we're stuck where we are. But Lord, instead we would turn to You and we would say, Lord, help us. Stretch our faith. Help us obey. Teach us and continue to show us, and Lord, where we are broken, where we are stubborn, remold us, craft us, so that, Father, at the end of these things, we will be a vessel of honor that does nothing but bring honor and glory back to You. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen.